Informative, interesting, intelligent. President and CEO with the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber, Amber Smith with News from the Chamber.
Hello, and welcome to the May edition of News from the Chamber. I'm Amber Smith, President and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber. And with me is my Vice President, Michael Guyman, and we are right here in Tucson, Arizona, recording at Business Radio X Studio at Stuart Title on Broadway. Nearly every month, we've been focusing a lot on workforce development. We've looked at higher education, we've looked at industry partners, and this month, we're really going to boil down through K through 12 education. Complemented by a K through 12 public education of 63 districts with over 236,000 students, as well as 149 charter schools and more than 117 private self-regulating elementary and secondary schools, Southern Arizona's well-developed education infrastructure maintains an open ear to the needs of the business community. Our speakers and guests with us today all represent different pieces of that education puzzle. So we have elected official Dustin Williams, Superintendent of Public Instruction for Pima County. Dustin, you want to give us a little bit of background about yourself?
Sure. I'm a native Tucsonan. Graduated from Amphitheater High School in 92, traveled over to the University of Arizona where I started my career in education, became a teacher, got into administration, became an administrator, got my master's degree from Northern Arizona University in educational leadership, and then got into politics and became the Pima County School Superintendent, elected 2016. And here we are today.
All right. So there's our K through 12 representative. Welcome, Dustin.
Thank you very much.
Greg Deanna. Greg is the Director of Public Relations for the Joint Technical Education District, affectionately known as JTED. Greg, why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself and JTED?
Well, I'm also a native Tucsonan, graduated in 82 from Sabino High School and also from the University of Arizona, where I have a general studies degree in journalism, media arts, and English. And I've always put that to use in the Tucson sector, mostly working in education for various districts, including Sunnyside and the University of Arizona itself. And came to JTED about 11 years ago, and it was an interesting prospect because we were building a district from the ground up, and nothing existed, and we were doing everything from scratch. So it was exciting times. And now Pima JTED, we serve over 17,000 students a year, and we provide completely tuition-free career and technical education programs to high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors, regardless of their school choice. So we serve high school students from the public schools, charter schools, private homeless students, homeschooled students, and students who are not engaged in school.
All right, so there's our career and technical education partners. Next, we have Arlene Benavides. Arlene is the Executive Director of the Metropolitan Education Commission. Arlene, a little bit of your background as well as the MEC, please.
Okay, thank you. My name is Arlene Benavides, Executive Director of the MEC, Metropolitan Education Commission. I have been in the Tucson area for 23 years. I'm originally from Phoenix, and my bachelor's degree is from Arizona State University, and it's in business management, and my master's is in higher education, and that's from the University of Arizona. So just...
We have all three state universities represented this morning around this table.
That's right. So I've been working in the field of college access for 23 years, and I've worked with all of the school districts in Pima County in one way or the other, helping students and parents get ready for college. And now with the Metropolitan Education Commission, the core function of our organization is to advocate for all levels of education, pre-K to college. And we do that through a 34-member commission that sets the stage for our educational advocacy agenda. And then we also do that through some youth programs in youth leadership and civic engagement, workforce development, and college access.
Dustin, you look like you have a question.
No, I'm actually quite, I'm good right now.
So when I met Dustin, it's honestly one of the first times I realized that this was an elected position. as county superintendent. Talk to us a little bit about that and what inspired you to run for office, and is it what you expected it to be?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. Something I should have had. So it's a unique position. In Arizona, it's an elected position. Other states don't do it like Arizona. They're usually appointed or directors of some sort. In Arizona, there's 15 counties, and so in each county, you have one elected county school superintendent that pretty much runs the education system for various parts. And this is kind of how it works as the Pima County School Superintendent. We do about four to five, we do a ton of stuff, but four to five flagship stuff. So one is we're very, very heavily active in administration. We do all the paychecks, the vouchers, warrants, all the money, bonds, overrides, and so forth. And we also do all of the school governing board candidate elections. And that's the admin part of the business. When it comes to local control of schools, however, we don't have any local control. That's done also by an elected official, which are the elected board members of district schools. So when we take all those bonds and overrides and taxes and everything through Pima County, it looks like it's going to be somewhere around $1 billion a year is what we're distributing in funds. So you get federal dollars, state dollars, taxes, and so forth. And did I know any of that running into this business? The answer was no. What really drew me to this position was I was an educator for about 20 years and had no relationship with this position. All of my peers didn't have relationships. And just like yourself, Amber, really a lot of people just didn't know about this, who or what this office did. So I knew there was a disservice there somewhere. And then the second thing was I really got tired of watching all my really close colleagues and friends leave the educational field for another type of career. And so that was the draw that got me into this business. And there's a lot more detail that we'll go into as far as what this position actually does. But what really drew me to it, for what you asked, was just to bring this to the taxpayer that wants to have their dollar worth something and to become a community leader where education could come to our office and then we could build partnerships that would do excellent stuff for kids.
So, Greg, you're not an elected official, nor is JTED represented by elected officials, but it is funded through a government process. Can you speak to that?
Well, we are a public school district and we do have a governing board.
Okay.
So we are governed by elected officials. So that is kind of a misconception about JTED that is pretty common out there, that people don't realize we're a public school district that works with all the other public school districts in the state of Arizona. Now, we do receive our funding from the state, like most school districts do. It's based on average daily membership. Because of the creation of a JTED in 1990 by our legislature, it allows a little bit more funding for JTEDs because they realize that type of education, CTE education, is more expensive to deliver because of the equipment that's involved. The other quarter of our funding comes from the property tax, local property tax. It's on the secondary valuation. So most of us see that on our tax bills as about $20 or less on the average home in Pima County.
So let me break in there too. As the elected county school superintendent, everything that you do when it comes to the administration part, it's all by state statutes and law. And so when we talk about that primary tax rate, our office is what sets those primary tax rates for those district schools. So for any homeowner, wherever you live in Pima County, if you open up your statement, you're gonna see that tax rate. That's our office that puts that together. And we work really closely with the districts like JTED and TUSD and AMFI and so forth. And then we work really closely with Pima County, the treasurer and the assessors, and out comes a qualifying tax rate that we set each year, which is gonna be due here in October. So right now in the summer, our office goes full speed when it comes to a finance.
So Greg, give us some examples of some of the career training that is through the JTED program.
Well, we offer more than 50 programs, both in our satellite locations that are involved in the public school districts that are located there, 36 schools that throughout Pima County, down in Rio Rico, Nogales, and San Manuel. And then we have about 20 central campus programs that we operate at central campus locations, also located throughout Pima County. They range everything from firefighting and welding, industrial technologies, heavy equipment operations, nursing, healthcare pathway programs. We have bioscience and engineering programs as well. So there's quite an array of career training programs. We design these programs to fit the needs of industry. And so we really listen, and we, when industry tells us, hey, there's a shortage of skilled labor, then we go to work developing programs in partnership with these industries to help supply that skilled workforce.
So Arlene, you're an advocate for the schools and districts. Tell us a little bit more about your role as to how you interface and intersect with the school districts, and then maybe even specific to some of the technical education, since that's a little bit different.
Okay. Well, first of all, we're the Metropolitan Education Commission consists of 34 members. And there's representatives there from every level of education, along with social services and business and the different cultural groups and so on. And so we're tasked with that responsibility of providing, you know, the direction as far as advocating, you know, for all the different levels of education. And so we work very closely with Dustin Williams. He's one of our commissioners. And so he, one of the big things that he does is, you know, he updates all of the commissioners on some of the issues that are taking place, you know, at the legislative level because of his involvement in that. We work with all of the superintendents as well through our work with Dustin, but also we have a commissioner who represents the Superintendents Collaborative that's here in the Tucson area, and that commissioner is Steve Holmes, who is the superintendent of Sunnyside School District. So the way that the commission is composed is that there's a representative from all these key stakeholder groups, and so that communication flows through those representatives and the commission as a whole. As far as some of the career and technical education pieces, we have had the superintendent of JTED on the commission as well. In that individual, before he retired, served as the representative for the overall Superintendents Collaborative and JTED. This year, we're also working with Kathy Prather, who is the current superintendent of JTED, and she'll be on the commission as well next year. And again, the communication that takes place at those monthly meetings is very informative to what the needs are in each of the different areas. We also work very closely with the career and technical education directors in all of the the school districts through our Key to Employment Symposium that we have every year and we've had for the past 22 years. And so they support the symposium by providing transportation for those schools that are where they have CTE programs and bus those students into the symposium.
So of those 34 commissioners, how are they selected?
They're appointed. So five of the commissioners are appointed by the city council. Another five are appointed by the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And then the rest are appointed by individual community organizations and businesses in the community.
Of which the Chamber of Commerce has a seat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was curious, I kind of want to go back. I've been interested in this. The superintendent, as you said, Dustin, is an elected position. Pima County, as do all the other 15 counties, have these row officers, right? So we elect our sheriff, we elect our attorney, we elect our treasurer. There's a lot of people that we elect in the counties in Arizona. Why do you think we decided to have an elected school official? Is that very different from other states?
You know, that's a great question. We've actually kind of wanted to brainstorm and look at like the, you know, what states are doing what. And obviously Arizona was a really rural area at one point before it became, you know, urbanized with, you know, colleges and high density populations. And with that, that's when it was formed in the Constitution. You know, why the rhyme or the reason is that it's elected, I don't have that answer. But it's also interesting at the state level, because as there's a county school superintendent for each county, Arizona also elects the state school superintendent. And usually that's appointed by the governor and other states as well. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you have a, you know, however many are doing it one way and however many are doing it the other way. I mean, to figure out the politics in Arizona and why they do things, I think we'd all be scratching our heads for a really long time sometimes. But it works out here that it's in the Constitution that it's elected, and so be it.
Could very well be one of those checks and balances things where for so long, you know, especially as the U.S. started expanding west, you had Tammany Hall, you had the boss system in Chicago, you had the Western communities kind of figuring out, okay, you know, this, we don't want to have these one or two individuals controlling things. We really kind of want to spread it out. So it could just be a check and balance issue.
That's probably a really good point. It's really interesting to watch the dynamics, especially in the short time that I've been elected here, watching two state superintendents and how they interact right now with the current governor that we've had. They've been opposite in day and night in their interaction with one another, but there also have been opposite in partisans. And it's ironic that right now we have a Republican governor and a Democratic state superintendent, and it seems that the synergy and the partnership is actually flourishing, as to where before it was an R and an R, and it didn't start so well.
But your interaction with, Kathy Hoffman is the current state superintendent. So what is your interaction with her then?
So that's when Superintendent Hoffman got elected, she formed a transition team. And out of that transition team, she picked, you know, certain leaders in the community. And I was selected as one of those people to be on the transition team. So we meet a minimum of once a month and really just talk about what are the real dire needs at the county level, because we interact so closely with all of the district schools and charter schools. And so we get to hear and understand what are those needs. And then we have a relationship as far as compliance and what they want to bring down to the county levels. A lot of times they're in charge of not making the rules, because they take the rules from the State Board of Education, but the implementation of the rules and how those are going to be kind of delivered to our school systems. So our offices have to work really closely with Arizona Department of Education and making sure that those kind of run smoothly.
Thank you.
So I'm curious about, under the Metropolitan Education Commission, your pathways you talked about in your upcoming event. On keys to employment, how are you engaging with industry, and what does that event look like?
Okay. So for the key to employment, it has been a symposium, and it's offered once a year, and it's been offered for the past 22 years. And in that time frame, you know, in the past 22 years, the program, of course, you can imagine, started small, got big, went medium. We've had up to 1,000 students that participate in the event. That was at the highest peak, and it all depends on our venue. But on average, we've got about 500 students that participate, and it's focused on exposing our high school students to careers that are in the science, in the high tech, engineering, and the digital arts and mathematics. And so we work with our educational partners, post-secondary education partners, that include all of the different pathways, that include vocational, technical, the community college, certification programs, and the higher, the bachelor's degree level programs. And so we work with our academic partners to invite them to come in and showcase some of their academic programs that prepare students for some of these careers. Then we reach out to our business community and invite them to be a part of that symposium to then share these are the actual careers, the jobs that are available through our industries, and small business, medium and large, that are available throughout Arizona, Pima County, or the city of Tucson. So they come together. This year we had 88 exhibitors. 26 of them were academic programs, 44 were businesses, 8 were government entities, and then the rest were military. So that's, you know, we try to be inclusive of all of the different options that students may have upon graduating from high school.
How were those industries selected?
They are invited to participate. Those that have participated in years past will always receive an invitation to participate again. And then we're out actively recruiting any new businesses that we're made aware of. We work with our city leaders and our county leaders to also identify any new businesses that are here as a result of some of their efforts in bringing in new businesses to our community. And we ask for their support in introducing us to some of the decision makers in these businesses to talk about the key to employment and the opportunity that is there should they be able to participate and serve to inform our student community of the opportunities that these new businesses are bringing in.
Well, you mentioned about 5 or 6 different pathways. Mm-hmm. How are those selected?
Well, we're very intentional about making sure that the students see all of the different pathways that are available. So, for example, we have JTED. They've been a big partner for several years. We want to showcase what are the opportunities that are available to the students now. And so what is happening in their schools through CTE and through JTED? And then what are the pathways that can come from those positions or from those programs beyond graduating from high school?
So, Greg, can you speak to that a little bit more on the programs that have been identified that JTED offers and the alignment with industry needs?
Sure. Well, we love participating in the Keys to Employment. It's a huge event, and we bring programs where we feel there is industry need. This year, we brought our 3D animation and game design program for one, and it kind of seems like a limited scope maybe with 3D animation and game design, but the skills in that, well, the theme of this year's event was the fourth industrial revolution, which is upon us.
Sure.
And a huge part of that is artificial intelligence, augmented reality, and our 3D animation and game design program does an excellent job of teaching those skills to students. And those are skills that translate to other fields as well. So into the medical field, engineering, you name it, whatever field you have in the future, students are going to need to have an understanding of artificial intelligence and augmented reality because it's going to be the wave of the future. So we're building those skills into our students. Other high demand areas, we had our physical therapy technician program there, which is very successful. That, according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, is one of the fastest growing professions in the United States of America. It's going to grow like 30% over the next 10 years. So that's another program where we're exposing students to what a physical therapy technician does, and that introduction to that field is really just that. The students can go anywhere from there. They can become a physical therapist at the doctorate level, or they can work as a technician or an assistant in a physical therapy office, but there's many careers that branch off of that. So those are the types of programs that we showcased at this year's Key to Employment event.
So speaking more broadly, how do students that enter into the JTED program know what those future career pathways are?
We do share those with students. Some of it's based on student interest. Again, some of it is information that we take from industry, and then we share that out through our network of counselors so that they're aware. For example, the aviation industry is another one that a huge shortage of skilled workers. Our skill workforce in this country is set to retire, the bulk majority of them. And so we get information from companies such as Bombardier, and we have a program that's in line with Pima Community College's aviation program. So students start that program in their junior year of high school. By their senior year, they can take the program one additional year at Pima Community College and leave with their airframe and power plant certification and enter the workforce, making very good money for a high school student 1 year out of high school. But we are constantly working with through social media channels and our website and other areas, but also through our network of counselors to let students know that this is where the jobs are. And that's part of the struggle that we're having is shifting the paradigm in this country that all students must get a four-year university mm-hmm. degree. It's shifting very slowly, thanks to huge help on the national level from people like Mike Rowe. It is turning, but we have to show that there's no shame in being a plumber. Plumbers make great money, and if you don't believe me, just hire one on a Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's what I've always been interested and intrigued about under the JTED program is when you look at those lists of offerings, the programs sound like careers. I mean, legitimate, you can go out and go under job seeking and be able to find a position in that. How does that integrate then with the community college system and other and being able to achieve a certification?
Actually, it works hand in hand. While we say that, you know, the research shows that the majority of jobs are not going to be for the four-year college degree. They're not going to require that. They're going to require those industry certifications. But we do encourage some form of post-secondary education for all of our students. That's essential. And again, we work hand-in-hand with Pima College on a daily basis. Most of our programs offer dual credit, so the students can actually start earning some of their Pima Community College credits while they're still in high school. And they get a taste of, is this what I want to do in life? And as important as it is for your students to take our programs and say, aha, this is what I really want to do, this is my direction, it's also important to students who take our programs and decide, this isn't what I want to do. That helps them from pursuing a very expensive career path in a university or private college in the wrong field for them. So it's all learning opportunities, but the skills we teach, the professional workplace skills, translate to all other aspects of their lives. So we teach our students how to shake someone's hand, how to look them in the eye, how to show up to work on time, how to dress professionally, how to work with others. So those skills are what our employers are really asking for.
Since JTED has its own district, does it have its own school?
Yes, we do have central campus programs, and those central campus programs make it easy for students to attend after their regular school day. So it's a huge investment on the part of these young people that come. We have about 1,700 students attending our central campus programs. So they attend their school all day, come to us in the afternoon to the early evening, and we have about 15 of those locations throughout Tucson that offer various programs. And we are building a brand new one at Park and I-10. We're excited to say that groundbreaking is going to be very soon, and that's going to be a 50,000 square foot facility at the Bridges near the U of A Tech Park.
So, Dustin, let's talk a little bit more about those career pathways. What role do you have in helping to either establish or communicate what those are for your students and then being able to drive them maybe to JTED PMR University system?
So it's interesting because one of the state statutes that we do is all the admin part, which we talked about, the bonds and overrides, state taxes, and so forth. The other part of our business that we do as the elected county school superintendent's office is the service industry part. And that's where we do the teaching for the teachers or their professional development or some type of service that we can deliver to the community. And when I got elected, one of the areas that we noticed that was in a tremendous need was the area of career and technical education. And being that JTED is one of the districts that we serve, it was a perfect combination to figure out what can we do and what are we already kind of doing to help the students. And so we run a couple different programs at our office, and one is the Business and Education Partnership Program. So basically we take a whole group of middle school students and we put them through this survey sort of like test that will identify what their interests are. And we do this at the middle school level so that this can kind of help guide them into a field that they want. And so we'll take about anywhere between 2,100 and 2,500 students a year. And it's selected schools that literally just call up and want the service from meeting different district schools and charters and so forth. And then we pair that up with a base of about 500 businesses that we work with, and currently the Chamber being one of those that has an outlet to hundreds of more businesses that we would like to also work with. And those schools get to go see what it's like to be in aviation or robotics or engineering, and it gives them a snapshot for a couple hours of what that actual business is like. And so we'll have students that come back after a whole day session, and they'll either love it or they will come and say, you know what, I don't know if architecture is really what I want to do anymore. But boy, we would like to start these conversations now in middle school rather than having these students kind of go blinded through high school. And then, you know, obviously if they end up going to college without a sense of direction, you just can't do that in today's market with the average cost of college being about $26,000 per year.
So I'm just really curious, has that changed? And the reason I ask that is because if you look at, say, European models, right? I mean, you're talking about surveying, and I'm doing air quotes, by the way, for those that can't see me, but surveying the kids in middle school to kind of drive them or at least find out what their interests are so you can inform them of the options that are out there. It almost seems like that European model where kids about that age are taking a test, and that test will determine, now this is obviously much more rigid system, but that test will determine where they will ultimately head, what kind of educational path they will head that will drive them toward a certain career. I mean, I guess I just don't remember, and maybe this is just me, but I don't remember going through anything like that when I was going through middle school and high school. I mean, I went to school, I learned, it was more general education, but is it now getting to the point where we are doing more of those types of things to drive people in a certain direction?
Yeah, it matters.
And that's for anyone.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's a question of is have we really ever thought about this whole career pathways conversations in general, or starting with middle school a few decades or, you know, a generation or two ago?
So the big question and all that also is the data behind it to track, you know, with these kids that we have, and what are their follow-throughs and where do they end up? And that's kind of the beginning point that we are at now, which is, before we created the service and it was excellent and we know that it's good for kids and good for the community and good for businesses, but now we're really interested in tracking those students and finding out where are they going and are they becoming directly related to the JTED industry, and are they going forward on following that path, which is the next step. But if you talk about education in general, to your point of the European model versus where we are today by, you know, exposing students to these opportunities, the big word that you hear now is disruption, or the disruptor in education. And somewhere that I was just reading that one of the new disruptors in education is more parents now are looking for their kids to not go into college, but instead to go into a career that they want to go into, that they're interested in, and then have that business pay for their university once they get into the field that they're interested in. And you're starting to see this paradigm change, which is something unique. So absolutely, we're seeing the very first stages of this happen.
And I think we have to be careful not to label this generation. We're working with Generation Z, and they're very different than all the other generations before them. And it's not either or, college or JTED or a technical career. It could be both. And so we have many students in our cosmetology program who plan on paying for college to earn their degree while they're cutting hair. So that's fine with us. That's good for the economy. That's good for kids. But the other thing is, again, it's just not an either or situation. College is going to be there so they can pursue what they love to do while they're in high school. But then when they achieve their career goals, college is always there waiting for them. And the research shows, interestingly enough, that JTED students who complete our JTED CTE program are three times more likely than their peers to earn their college degree. So that's kind of an interesting statistic there.
And the graduation rate for career and technical education skyrockets.
Yeah. Correct.
Compared to a student that's not involved. So the average is about 78% graduate high school. But in career and technical education, you get into the high 90s.
It's 98, 99%.
98, 99%.
Well, I think that there's a couple of reasons. And of course, of everyone at this table, I am by far the biggest layperson. It's easier to be able to see the why. I would say with career technical education, because there it is career and technical education. I mean, there is something tangible at the end where you can say, okay, I'm getting my certification in this, or I'm studying this. You talk about cutting hair. Well, that completely makes sense to me on getting a college degree, because they want to end up potentially being business owners.
Correct.
And in general, higher education is really about personal development, which has no end. I mean, it could be whenever you are an executive working for a company and you want to go back and get your MBA, and you can, you know, track that all the way down. And so I love the fact that it's not an either or, but also we know that in general with careers, that they're not linear anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably also a big part of why you can see that light at the end of the tunnel, because it all is more tangible to what you'll actually be doing for your future.
I would like to add also is that, again, our youth are very different, and they're living in a world where they have access to a lot of visuals and technology. And sometimes in the classroom, it may be a little too traditional. And so that general education, as important as it is, the students can get bored with it, and they want to know, how is this really relevant to my future? and so how is algebra, you know, relevant? How is trigonometry, and on? So that's just one example.
That's so funny. We were talking about that with my child yesterday over math homework, and it was, I think, actually an algebra assignment. Mind you, it's fourth grade, and I don't think they call it algebra then, but it was like, you know what, this is something that you really need to learn, because you're going to take it with you your entire life. Handwriting class, cursive, well, you know, maybe less so, but absolutely.
Yeah, and so, again, the students are asking why, you know, the why of this, and how is it relevant? And I think that by having the career and technical programs in the schools and JTED, that helps make that connection of the relevancy. And it's also about developing skills and in addition to exploring different careers. And I think the career exploration piece and having that done early is very important, because we have to help our students make the connections between their academic preparation and the value of those core academic subjects. And how that translates over into whatever job they want. They have to have strong writing skills and reading comprehension skills, and, you know, the beyond the basic math and the percentages and the fractions and all of those. And so by having them be a part of these career type of programs through, you know, what's offered in the schools or what may be offered out in the community through internships, that's where they really start to make the connections. So that is very important. And then it's also about identifying their strengths. Whenever I'm advising students, I start with their academics. What's their favorite academic subject, or what subject comes easy for them? And then it's like, that's a clue. That's a clue. Because every single one of those academic subjects, in one way or the other, also can manifest in a academic program, a post-secondary program, and then careers. And so helping them make those connections all the way through is something that is very important. So, you know, there are different pathways. Absolutely. But at the core of each of these pathways is their academic preparation, solid academic preparation. because that's one of the things that our employers are also commenting on. You know, they're giving us feedback that, you know, there's some remedial, you know, academic situations that they're seeing. And I'm, you know, I'm the poster child for, you know, youth programs, being a non-traditional student, changing careers a few times. You know, I've been in college for half of my life. And so, you know, saying that at middle school through these career explorations, that's going to dictate the direction. No, it's just exposing them to the possibilities, connecting and reinforcing the need for their academic preparation.
That's a really good point. There's two really good points there, actually, Arlene. One is first that guidance part, and that's probably one of the big areas in the state that we're lacking, to be quite honest, especially at the high school level. And the reason is we have a tremendous shortage in the counselor-student ratio. So we're last in the nation for one counselor per 900 kids. And the one counselors that we do have per 900 students, I mind you, I mean, think even if you got to us, there's only 180 days in the school year.
Right, okay? I mean,
think of that ratio alone. But those counselors are by far some of the most important individuals for the success of not just a school, but most importantly, a student, and guiding them in that direction. Also, as you see this explosion into career and technical education, also is the explosion in the advancement of all the tools. So even today in your carpentry areas and your automechanic areas, there is a high level of technology is what I want to say, that's in there that you need to understand, and also math that's mm-hmm. going to be involved in, and of course, reading. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that kind of gets to something that you mentioned, Greg, and that's also the soft skills. So you're talking, Arlene, about that sort of deficiency in some of these hard skills, or at least, you know, the reading, the writing, the arithmetic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Greg touched on the soft skills as well, that being able to communicate, being able to problem solve, showing up to work on time. I mean, something as simple as that, which you're right, Greg, you talked about how those are things that employers in a lot of the meetings that we have had bring up time and time again. So is this a generational thing, or is this something that now we are trying to bring into the educational process in this for this next generation?
I think if we put it in terms of a generational thing, it's the generation before that generation's fault. So first of all, it's don't fault the students themselves, because it's their parents who, I think, focused on other areas and didn't focus on these skills that some of us, I'm at the tail end of the baby boomers, beginning of Generation X. And so those skills were instilled with me by my parents. But I think as parents in the next generation, they focused on different areas of raising their children. So they did not necessarily instill those values. But it is something that we saw lacking. And again, when JTED was getting started, we started working with the business and industry members and the chambers of commerce. And one of the big business people in Tucson, Jim Click, you know, that was one of his chief complaints, was he said, you know, I can teach them how to turn a wrench, but I need them to have these professional soft skills. So it is something that we are conscientiously putting into it. It's actually part of CTE, the beauty of CTE. It's embedded into every single one of our programs, those soft skills. And it's definitely a need, and it's definitely time to put it back.
And I think that we can reinforce that as parents, and that's by starting with their behavior in school, how they view their role as a student in school. And so one of the things I always told my son, I said, your job is to be a good student. And what does that mean? You go to school every day, you know, and you pay attention, you learn, you know, be respectful of your teachers, you do your homework, you follow through. You know, again, those are all soft skills. And so that is at the core. And I was raised by my grandparents, and they, you know, had an elementary school education. But what my grandfather taught me has carried me all the way through. When I started my first professional job at the age of 18, he said, you know, you're working for a good company. Make sure that you go, that your attendance is good, that you are there every single day, and that you are loyal to your employer.
That's the old school mentality that we still need to bring back.
Exactly. And that has stayed with me, my attendance, my loyalty, mm-hmm. and the follow through. And so having these very basic conversations with today's youth is important. And my son, although, you know, I mean, he's 27. He saw that modeled in me and in my husband. And even though there's times that he hates his job, he goes every single day. And he is loyal. And he is, you know, he is following through. So whenever I have an opportunity to meet with students and with families, I start at the very basic level. And that's their academic preparation, their behavior, you know, on, you know, their time management, their reliability, and so on. Because all of that translates over to the workplace. The other thing I want to mention is that in the college access world, we talk a lot about first generation college students. So they're the students that would be going to college for the very first time. Their parents are not college graduates, or they haven't attended college. So they don't understand, you know, the process, the environment, and so on. So a lot of our work, you know, works with first generation students that are going to college. But the other thing is that those same first generation college students are first generation professionals in the workplace, because they're coming from families where, you know, primarily, you know, blue collar, or, you know, some that lack, you know, education, but they've worked hard to get their students to where they are so that they can have a college education. But that whole conversation about a first generation professional is also something that is important that we are incorporating, you know, into our work with all of our students. And that includes having some of these conversations. You think that they're basic, and I think that we might take them for granted, but they do need some guidance in those areas.
Well, and as technology evolves, we sort of are tending to veer away from each other. You can see everyone getting linked into their devices, and students are, let's just put it bluntly, addicted to these devices. I think we can say many adults are as well.
Absolutely.
But when you're on these things, you tend to not talk to your neighbors as much, and you tend to not go ride your bike out in the neighborhood. I mean, I'm a perfect example of that father that has to claw my, I mean, I got my son a trampoline for Christmas because I was sick and tired of him playing Roblox on the internet. So, I mean, and it works, you know, they're out jumping and having fun. But as technology evolves, you see that disconnect also happen with families.
So I want each of you to address this from your perspective. And I think that we've hit on pieces of it. But what would you say are our educational challenges in the region, and how best can we address them as each of you and leaders in your respective organizations?
I'll start first. Obviously, we have a major funding issue in the state when it comes to the priority of education. And the worst part about that is that we have a teacher shortage. And so when you have a teacher shortage, you don't have that champion in front of the classroom that's going to be that counselor, that's going to be that person that's going to talk to that student, hear about their problems and their issues, and then secondly, also teach them how to become skilled in whatever subject it is that they're teaching. We've got about 1,700 vacancies as we speak in Arizona, and we've got about 4,000 unqualified personnel, and we have hundreds and hundreds of substitutes. If it wasn't for the substitutes right now in the state, we would be in a critical, critical area. So with funding, it correlates to a profession. And if you look at a profession like the nursing industry right now, which is on fire. You can't even get into the programs. There's a waiting list. What are your classes at JTED like right now?
They're full.
They're full. You know, what are the classes right now at the colleges to become a teacher? They're empty. And a lot of that is that barrier of finance. And if you want to go into a career today that's $55,000, well, that's a nursing field, medical field. If you want to go into a career where it's starting $35,000, that's the profession of education. So then you get people, especially, and we don't want to label it as generations, but $35,000 to be in a new career, and that's going to be your profession. We're not getting a lot of eyes that direction. So we've got to figure out a way to get somehow to this medium national average of around $50,000 a year, which is something I campaigned on a long time ago and found out that Pima County School Superintendent doesn't have the authority to change it. I have to just pay the paychecks. I can't add any zeros. That would be my concern, to be honest. The biggest challenge is, how do we get there?
I would like to add that as a community, we have to come together as a community and expect a high quality education for every single student in Arizona and specifically here in Pima County. We have to expect a high quality education. And what does that mean? So it means, you know, curriculum, that it be, you know, it be in line with, you know, high expectations, and that it be rigorous, that we have qualified teachers, not substitutes, because they may not even be able to teach. They're basically following instructions and babysitting. And so we need those certified teachers in the classrooms, and we need for them to actually be teaching so that the students are actually learning. Project-based learning is also very important. That's why the CTE and, you know, some of the other hands-on type of programs are important. And then, you know, and the school counselors to be able to work to help address the various needs that our students have, because, you know, the teachers are serving as counselors. The teachers are doing a variety of things. I mean, you know, they're serving as parents sometimes, and, you know, they're just stretched too thin. And so we have to really think about, you know, the overall quality of the education, and what are the different things that impact that? And, you know, when we compare schools, you know, even within our own county that are producing, you know, prepared students and other schools that are being criticized for not, well, if you really dig deep into, you know, just looking at two schools, comparing them side by side, you can see the differences that are there.
Greg, what can you offer from JTED's perspective?
Well, we have business and industry often knocking on our door every day for skilled workers. And one of the things we need them to do, and some of them have, is come to the table and help us to actually build these programs. As Dustin said, funding is tight. It's tight all the way around. It's been tight for JTED over the years. And so we do have a great example of it in HVAC. We've had a lot of companies say, hey, there's a huge shortage in Arizona of HVAC techs. And so we've had a couple of local companies come to us this year and say, okay, how can we build the program together? We can provide teachers and skilled people in that profession. We can train them to be teachers. They just need to bring the skill of repairing air conditioning units. But they're also bringing tools, equipment to the table, and facilities for us to teach students in. And so we're starting to see this, but we need to see, you know, quite a bit more of it, especially for the industries like the healthcare industry is saying, you know, we need more nurses. But it's difficult now that the economy is good to hire people from industry to come teach.
Yeah, a perfect example for JTED also is our state priority on education. So JTED used to have a four-year program. Uh-huh. You guys would be able to attract the freshmen, take them all the way through. So the curriculum there is for a four-year program so that when that student graduates high school, they're certificated and ready. Well, the state legislature cut JTED. We almost completely lost JTED, by the way, 2 years ago, which the entire program itself was almost cut. But we never got that third year funding back.
Correct.
So we're running your entire system is still geared at a four-year program, but it's funded at a three-year program.
That's correct.
And then we also lost the ability to take students that had gotten their GEDs and just wanted to come and learn a career in technical education trade. We were able to get the funding for that, and we no longer get the funding for that. So we are missing out on an entire demographic, especially at the CTE level, that we could be capitalizing on huge. And we have the money right now to do this, by the way. And 500 mil going towards the rainy day fund. That's my radio voice, by the way.
An important point on that is no high school student decides to drop out their senior year. That just doesn't happen. Those decisions are made early on, and it's usually their freshman year. And CTE has... proven. We are able to grab and engage students, and we have many. Like, I'm thinking of an aviation student right now who was doing poorly in all his home high school classes, but we got him into the aviation program, and his grades are stellar. He's excelling, but his grades continue to be pretty poor at his home high school. And finally, our advisor for that program said, you know what? You need to do your work and turn it in. If you like aviation, you want to stay in the program, you need to do the work. That kid turned his life around, and he's engaged now, and he's excelling, and he's ready to graduate high school with great grades. So we're a great motivational factor, but Dustin's right. If we're not able to grab him as freshmen, and the dropout rate in Arizona is a huge cost to taxpayers.
Huge.
Because then they are tax takers, not taxpayers.
I would like to thank the Tucson Metro Chamber for inviting us to be a part of this discussion, because I think it is very important to engage our business community. We really are at a critical time in our educational system, and the businesses have a very powerful voice at the legislature, and they have a great impact on our ability to prepare the students and to help them contribute to a highly skilled workforce and to help with the economic development of our cities and our counties. So I just want to thank you for inviting us, and I really would like to invite more businesses, to really think about the social responsibility and how we need to come together to really fight for and expect a quality education in Arizona.
What are our strengths?
Well, I'll tell you what. With what we have and actually what's happening in the classroom is truly, truly excellent. Like, what is going on? The variety of students, our communities, which in Arizona, especially in Pima County, we're a very poor community. Mm-hmm. But we do band together, and we come together, and we do stuff that's right. The opportunities that come through JTED, Metropolitan Education Commission, Chamber, Pima County School Superintendent's Office, there comes a point in time, and especially in the realm of education, where the partisan does drop to the side and we actually end up working together and trying to do something as one. Those would probably be our strengths, is we have some amazing individuals in this county, and with what we have, we're doing really, really well. If we were to get a little bit more and get that per pupil spending to somewhere in the 30s and get that profession salary into somewhere that 50, we could do something incredible in this nation and be a player.
I think our strengths too are the collaboration among business and industry, our relationship with the Tucson Metro Chamber, large employers in the Tucson area coming to the table and helping us, serving on our business and industry advisories. Those are huge, because they also go to bat for us when we do have issues with the legislature. Over the past few years, when Dustin referred to, we almost lost our funding, it was really the business community that stepped forward and said, no, we need JTED. So the collaboration is going well. It's also going extremely well among schools themselves. With our new campus, it's in TUSD's boundaries. One of the transformational things that we're going to be doing is offering core curriculum at that campus. So students will be able to take their JTED courses and core curriculum together.
but that campus is also right next door to the Sunnyside Unified School District. We have those two superintendents, Steve Holmes and Gabe Trujillo, working together and collaborating to make sure that Sunnyside students can attend that campus without negatively affecting Sunnyside's funding for those students. That's huge. So the fact that these two school districts that normally might compete for students are coming to the table and working together, that's just really outstanding in Pima County.
Arlene?
I think, you know, when I think about strengths, I think about all of our educators and the dedication that they have, the challenges that they face, and how they are so resilient and they stay in the profession, and the way that, you know, they're so dedicated to teaching and to supporting the students. The other strength is our youth. Our students are incredible. They are. And I think that anybody that is around our students for any extended period of time, or even for a short period of time, you know, you get to see that, you know, they're eager to learn. They want to be involved. They want to make a difference in their community. And they are looking for opportunities.
Well said.
If someone wants to be able to reach out to any of you or websites, can you please provide that? Arlene.
Okay, Metropolitan Education, you can reach us at metedu.org or 520-670-0055.
Great. And Pima JTED, PimaJTED.org. All those emails come to me, so I will be happy to answer them. You can also contact us by phone. It's 352-5833.
Dustin Williams, Pima County School Superintendent's Office at schools.pima.gov. That's schools.pima.gov.
And I think your Twitter handle is the Super Teacher, right?
That's my personal one, Super Teacher. That's correct. Our handle, Pima Schools, Pima School SUP is our Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that.
Beautiful. Thank you all very much. I think this was a very productive conversation, really focusing on the strength of collaboration, partnerships, and especially public-private partnership and investment. Investment in our future, and being able to help our schools, our teachers, our students, because ultimately that's what's going to advance us as a community and as a state in the future. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, this is Amber Smith at Tucson Business Radio X here in Tucson, Arizona, in the Stewart Title Studios. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next month.